Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. A convicted serial killer linked to 7 homicides in Lansing, now making death threats from prison. Authorities say that Matthew Macon, convicted in 2008, is directing those threats towards the prosecutor in the case and Lansing City Councilmember Carol Wood, whose mother was one of Macon's victims. Carol joins me now. Thank you very much for coming on the show to talk about this unfortunate story, Carol.
Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to express some of our concerns about what's happened in the past and where we are today.
So Macon is in prison for life. He's received 9 misconduct citations behind bars, and now you've been told that he's making threats against your life. What exactly is being done to ensure your safety and that he isn't able to follow through on his threats?
Well, one of the things is that the Michigan State Police major crimes have been investigating it and following through on some of the information that they have. And, of course, we can't go into a lot of what that is. But then the other thing is changing of my own lifestyle. I already had security things on my home, but now it's even more so on letting people know where I am, how I'm coming home, making sure that I get home safely and in my house, and taking a number of those types of precautions as I go about my daily business.
He's imprisoned, obviously. So is the implication that he's trying to solicit someone on the outside to do something here?
Well, I, we can't go into some of those details of exactly what was said, but there was enough. There was enough concern that the state police felt that they needed to investigate it, and at one point suggested that maybe I leave my home while they were doing the investigation. I chose not to do that. Feeling the safety of my own home and the fact that the familiar things around me gave me a little bit more security, feeling of security, versus the fact of being someplace that I wasn't familiar with.
You know, a serial killer in Lansing obviously shocked the community. And you know more about this man and the case against him than most of us. All the known victims were women. What is your understanding of how he targeted them?
Well, there were a variety of ways. Some of those were the fact that he was familiar with them. Actually, the first victim was Barbara Tuttle. She was 45, and the week before she was murdered, he had raped her, and he came back a week later and murdered her, and that was in the North Washington Avenue house that she was murdered in. The second victim was Carolyn Cronenberg, who he had beaten and strangled and raped, and that was in January 23rd, 2005. After that time, he ended up back in prison for something unrelated to these 2 murders and was released in the spring of 2007, and at that time was July 26th was when he actually knocked on my mother's door and what was thought to be borrowing a mower that she loaned to the community to do yard work that needed to be done by people that didn't have different yard tools and that. And as she was going back into the house, he asked for a glass of water, and then he followed her in, pushed her in the house, and beat her. She died 2 days later of her injuries. On August 7th, Deborah Cook, who actually was a friend of one of his brothers, she was murdered and sexually assaulted in Hunter Park. Then you had Deborah Renfrew, Frohr, who was 46, who August 9th, 2007, was found dead in the same house where his first victim had been murdered. And both of these women, the one on December 20th, 2004, Barbara and Deborah, both had frequented the VA shelter, the VOA shelter, and apparently he had at times. So whether he had gotten to know them there or not, we're not sure. Then on August 27th, 2007, was when he killed Sandra Eichhorn, and he had stabbed her in her home, and he had come to the door asking about doing some work at her house, and she was murdered. And then the last murder victim was August 28th, 2007, and that was Karen Delgado, and she was found in the vacant house on Hickory Street, and she was left for dead the next day, was found there, and died on the way to the hospital.
What is your understanding of why it took so long, and why was it so difficult to identify and capture him before he was able to commit all these murders?
Well, and that's sometimes the things that you look back as a family member, and you see certain things that had slipped through the cracks, and you wonder, you know, how these things can happen, especially when you're used to watching television shows and you see CSI work done miraculously there, and you're trying to figure out why weren't these other things caught. You know, it's my understanding that when he raped his first victim, that there were DNA that was taken, but it never got tested, and so after he came back and murdered her, maybe if that DNA had been tested because of his prison record, we might have caught him then. Mm-hmm. We don't know that. Then we have Carolyn Cronenberg, and we all know the story of that one. The wrong person was put in jail, and they thought that that case was settled, and he ended back up in jail, as I said, for something else. And then when he was paroled at the time, just before he killed my mother, he wasn't living where he was supposed to, which was a parole violation, didn't get picked up for that, did not have his job, which he was supposed to have, didn't get picked up for that. And we found out that he had two dirty drops for drugs, and didn't get picked up for that. So
what you're describing is a situation where he should not have been out and about.
Absolutely.
Understood. I'm talking to Lansing City Councilmember Carol Wood. We're talking about the serial killer Matthew Macon. Her mother, Carol's mother, was one of his victims. Now, you were at the trial. Can you describe Macon's demeanor? Was there any outward indication of just how dangerous he is?
Well, I was at the preliminary hearing, and saw him at that, but actually I was asked not to be at the trial.
Okay.
I was at the sentencing. The reason I wasn't able to be at the trial was there was a concern at that time, and since has not been charged with my mother's murder, and because of the notoriety and people seeing me in the news all the time, didn't want to confuse the cases, and I was asked not to be at the trial. But even at the preliminary hearing, it did not show some of the things that you expect to see or think about and say that this person is a dangerous person out there. Talked with his family and friends at different times and smiled at them and things like that. But but again, we know the viciousness because he did confess, and there was a transcript of that, and so we are well aware that he is the person that did all of these things to these women, and that there was no remorse. Other than the confession, he always maintained his innocence during the trial, and at the sentencing did not speak to the families or anything else, just talked about the fact that, you know, he wasn't guilty, even though, again, as I said, we do have a confession with him describing in detail what he did to our loved ones.
Finally, a brutal serial killer who then makes death threats from prison. You know, Macon certainly bolsters the argument for the death penalty. especially since he continues to be a menace. Has this case affected your view on the death penalty?
Yes, it has. The idea of taking a life to me is a very serious situation. But when we look at this particular person and all the things that we know about this person, and maybe more so because when you're a victim, you look at things sometimes differently than you do philosophically out there overall at a system, it does bolster your feeling about that. But then you also step back and you look at the Cronenberg situation, you realize that if there had been a death penalty, then an innocent man would have gone, might have been executed. So mm-hmm. there's a number of mixed feelings with this case. But I think the thing that's most difficult is, again, that this person has control over my life and the lives of other people from prison. Mm-hmm. It didn't stop with him going to prison. He still can put fear in our hearts, and he can still has a way of manipulating our lives in ways that we don't want to be manipulated.
Lansing City Council Member Carol Wood, thank you very much for coming on the program and discussing this, Carol.
Thank you for having me.